Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
/7:43, the Chicago mayor's race. Not surprisingly, but faster than we probably thought, has become the talk of the country politically when you actually talk about politics as opposed to the stuff we spend our time talking about. Paul Vallis is here. Mr. Vallis would like to be the next mayor of Chicago, and nice to see you again. How have you been?
Good.
Welcome
campaign
back.
Colds. It's the nature of campaigning.
You know, you don't sound like you have a cold. I think you're okay. Yeah. And by the way, the listeners are lining up to help me medically this morning so they can help you as well.
Great.
Where were you when you found out Mayor Emanuel was out?
I was actually in Roseland. I was doing an event in Roseland. That's where I was born and raised when I heard about it.
And were you surprised?
I wasn't. I had heard rumors that he was not going to run from people who know him, obviously know the campaign. I was surprised he announced when he did. I thought that he would wait until November, until after the election, the general election.
Of the people that are currently in, it's you and Tony Preckwinkle. And Bill Daley are getting the most chatter, especially now that Chuy Garcia has decided not to run. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't. I imagine that there may be one or two entries before it's over. But you know, at the end of the day, I think we're doing pretty well. And all the polls I've seen, we're generally second, and we're in a runoff. And what the polls clearly say is that there's going to be a runoff. So I feel optimistic about our pathway to victory, and I feel that we're at least going to be in the runoff.
One name that was thrown out just recently was your former partner, Gary Chico. Mm-hmm. He's decided to run for mayor. A lot of your platform has been about your time at the schools here in Chicago, and people know you and name recognition. He was front and center as well. Are you fear a split that people recognize you and Gary?
No, not necessarily. You know, for anyone who decided to run after Emanuel got out, I say that, you know, if you didn't have the guts to run against him, what makes us think they're going to have the guts, the courage to make the tough decisions once they get in? Plus, you know, Gary decided that he wanted to be on boards and not be the day-to-day CEO because, you know, he wanted to generate income. You know, he wanted to make money. So, you know, I'm not worried about splitting the vote or whatever. I mean,
you get along with Chico?
I get along with everybody. I like to think that I get along with everybody. Well, obviously, you know.
Yeah, so do I.
Mayoral races have a way of, creating camps and, you know, friends become enemies. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to do what I've been doing from the beginning. I'm going to be very specific on the issues. And if you remember when I announced, you know, I had like a 48-minute Q&A. And when my Q&As end, it's usually I ask a question or I ask, are there any more questions? And nobody says anything.
Right.
And they hope that I don't answer any more questions.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I'm going to continue to speak very specific. You know, I'm going to try to be very specific on the issues.
Let's go through the top folks here for just a quick second. Why you as opposed to Bill Daley?
Well, you know, I like to think that I've managed multi-billion-dollar, government-owned entities with great success, not only here but in Philadelphia. I didn't leave the city and become kind of a hired gun, a paid consultant, get appointed to a lot of boards, make a lot of money. I went to Philadelphia when the state took over, when those schools were on the verge of bankruptcy, and then I was asked to go to New Orleans after Katrina to rebuild the schools there, which we did successfully. You'll be hard-pressed to find a failing school in New Orleans or a child who's not in either new or completely renovated school. And then I did international work in Haiti and in Chile. And believe me, you don't go to Haiti to make money. So at the end of the day, my approach, I'm a public servant who has managed multi-billion-dollar organizations.
Right.
In multiple states with great success, and I think those are the type of skills. You know, the city needs a problem solver, not a politician.
So, same answer for Tony Preckwinkle, as in why you're not Tony Preckwinkle?
Well, I like Tony. I've always had a good relationship with her. You know, I think she's well-intended. Unlike many of these other candidates, she didn't go out there and try to make a fortune and then decide to
Wait, but you're not running her campaign, so why are you better?
Why am I better? I think I have more experience. I've certainly done this like four or five times now. So, you know, I've managed, I think, 14, 15 multi-billion dollar budgets with great success. So I certainly, I believe, have the skills to do that. I also think that my financial plan for the city is going to be a plan that will allow the city to grow. I believe budgets need to be investment documents. And if anything, the budgets that we've been passing from year to year have been budgets that kick the can down the road and set priorities that are more driven by politics than they are driven by need. Mm-hmm. And I believe that my record for transforming governmental institutions by investing and by growing those entities, I think that that record is a superior record.
Mr. Vallis, the budget situation in the city of Chicago this year is tenable, if you see it.
Right.
But we all know that coming up in 2020 is another fiscal cliff. The next mayor, they'll be on the hook for
right.
that. Let's talk about schools. CPS, of course, one of those budgets that are either way out of whack or somewhat out of whack, it seems like to be every year. The mayor was able to sell a closing of 50 schools, the largest in city history. Do you see a way that the Chicago Public Schools can move forward without closing more schools?
Well, let me point out that over the last 30 years, the school district has only grown in numbers for 6 years. Those are the 6 years that I happen to be CEO. We went from 514,000 students, a high in 79, to 404,000 when I came in. We were left, we were at 438,000. Now they're at 372,000. So clearly their policies and their strategies have resulted in more students, fewer students going to the district. And it's just not demographics, believe me.
No, but they would say, not to speak for the mayor, but they would say that's why they had to close the schools. There's not enough students anymore.
Well, on the one hand, when you're opening new schools, like they opened well over 100 charter schools, and then suddenly you have to close schools. When I left, we had 437,000, 438,000 students in 558 schools. Today they have 660 schools and like 370,000 students. So the point is, they haven't engaged in the type of programs and policies designed to retain students and to attract new students. So if you're shrinking, you're going to have these problems. You see what I mean? So I think they've been misguided in the approach they've taken. And the combination of lack of stability, lack of budget security, lack of continuity in the way they budget and the way they staff, four superintendents in 7 years, combined with the absence of policies that are designed to make all neighborhood schools attractive, I think that's resulted in the dramatic decline in enrollment. And incidentally, City College is experiencing the same thing. They've lost a third of their student population, a third. So clearly they're not engaging in policies that are going to attract more students. And your funding is dependent on additional students. You get your state
right.
funding.
Well, yeah, you don't get one without the other.
Exactly.
I want to come back and talk about a couple
sure.
other things during the break. But before we leave this, are there enough schools to serve the students of the city of Chicago, or are there not enough resources for the schools that we have?
Well, I think with the state picking up what's called normal cost, which is the cost of the pensions going forward, because there's always been inequity in pension treatment, they've kind of stopped the bleeding. And I think the budget can be, I think now is time to come up with a 5-year financial plan for the district that stabilizes the district and that brings predictability and continuity to what schools will have the resources.
Do you have the 5-year plan?
Yeah.
Do you have it on you right now?
Yeah.
can I have a copy?
I can tell you the things that I would focus on.
Give me a top three. Top three things to fix the schools.
Well, a top three is having a 5-year financial plan.
Okay.
In other
number
words,
two?
Projecting your revenues and constructing
being financially responsible.
Yeah. The second thing is you've got to find the way to, in effect, put programs in neighborhood schools that would make those neighborhood schools attractive. Like my approach was to put international baccalaureate programs, world language academy programs, military academy programs. So there's a reason to stay in schools. Third thing is, is to invest in career and technical education. And let me give you an example. If you looked at the schools and you looked at the electives that are being offered and you began to phase out irrelevant electives and you replaced them with paid work study like Crystal Ray, or for that matter, career and technical educational programs, you could in fact turn all the high schools in, you could add to all the high schools current technical education, work study programs, dual enrollment,
yeah,
early college
curriculum
programs,
all need to be audited. I mean, there's no question they should go through and be realistic about the jobs that will be available,
so
as opposed to the jobs we're teaching kids for. Those are good.
So there are things that will make all those neighborhood schools attractive.
You appear to have some experience in education. More with Paul Vallis in a second, including solving all the problems of the city of Chicago. What's the website for the run?
Oh, it's
help. Website for the run.
Paul Vallis. We have two websites, and I always screwed them up.
I know.
It's Paul Vallis at for all. It's Vallis for all Chicago.com.
Vallis.
Grace, did I get
for
that right this
all
time?
Chicago.com.
Grace
is in the back.
Grace
her head
was
just
about
exploded.
To hit me in the back of the head.
Yes, Vallis for all Chicago.com.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Paul Vallis is here, wants to be your mayor, and if he can remember the website, he's going to be ahead of just about everybody. All right, so listen, I always feel like this is a question that has to be asked, and it's an unfair question because it cannot be answered by you or any other candidate. How do you fix crime in the city?
Well, first of all, you've got to get at the root causes of crime, and that is you've got to invest. You know, 80% of the city is not growing, and there are areas of the city that are in depression states. So at the end of the day, you've got to create economic opportunity. So I say that because then when I talk about, you know, more police and expanding public safety resources, people always come back and say, yeah, but you got to get at the root causes. So, look, I mean, what I put out this week was how to redevelop those areas. So, but there is no substitute for getting criminals off the street. And at the end of the day, when you allow your police department to be decimated, where you haven't filled out, where you haven't filled 2,000 vacancies, you allow the detectives division to shrink from 1,200 to less than 700. They are now building back, but all these detectives are inexperienced. When you decimate your supervisory ranks, like your sergeants and your training officers, what do you expect the results to be? So what I've done, and I talked about this on this show, at an earlier show, a couple months ago, as I've talked about rebuilding the police department in terms of increasing its strength to 4,200, having police officers in the schools, in other words, converting many of the these public safety positions, school security positions, to CPD positions, because you would not only increase in, security in the schools, but what you would have when schools are not in is 600 to 700 officers that could be dispatched then to the communities.
In the summer,
So you're not pulling police officers from neighborhoods, taking them away from their beats, and putting them on Lakeshore Drive or in Michigan Avenue to deal with those, you know, summer, those big events like the 4th of July weekend, Veterans Day, Memorial Day.
So staffing, more cops.
Yeah, well, and
in the right places.
Yeah, in the right places. You also have to understand that they're spending about $175 million in overtime. When I was budget director and we have almost 14,000 police officers on the street, we spent $38 million in overtime.
The overtime in this city and in the state and the county is so ridiculous.
Yes,
and out of control.
It's like $300 million.
Yeah, and what's our friend from OpenTheBooks.org?
Angievsky, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Angievsky has shown this again and again and again. Overtime, you get overtime straightened out in the city of Chicago, the amount of money you're saving is going to be crazy. Justin. Yeah.
This week, we're seeing, today, we're going to see police officer Jason Van Dyke on the stand in a trial that is obviously has...
Is that definitely happening?
That's what they keep saying, Steve keeps saying. So, Mr. Vallis, there's going to be a verdict in this case coming up possibly in the next week or two. The city, of course, has gone through this after seeing that video, and there has been a division when it comes to police and community. What, as someone is going to have to step up and take leadership for the city, especially after this verdict, how do you respond? What are your plans to be able to fix a rift or be able to deal with something like a huge trial like this?
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, you know, let me get at the larger issue. The way they heal the community is to provide hope in the community. And that's one of the reasons that I've kind of laid out my Marshall Plan to invest in those communities that have been long neglected. Because there are many communities in Roslyn and Englewood, people have lost hope. And when there's a lack of hope, people become frustrated. The second thing I believe that what you have to do with the police, there's no substitute for beat integrity. There isn't. People need to know their police officers. People need to know who they are. The police need to know the communities that they're serving. And when you have, when your police strategy is the Violence Reduction Initiative, where you're moving officers all over the city from one spot to another, and when they don't have the proper supervision, like you allow your sergeant, ratio of sergeants to officers to go from 1 to 10 to 1 to 30, I mean, you don't have the right, it undermines effectiveness and it undermines accountability. So what you've got to do is you've got to reestablish the principles of community policing, which is to secure the beat officers. The final thing I want to mention is, and I've laid this out in my public safety plan, which I announced, and that's online. It's in all its glory, or lack thereof. I talked about recruiting the next generation of police officers from the communities. I opened a series of military high schools, military academies, and we had today. Chicago Public Schools, or last year, Chicago Public Schools had almost 10,000 students in military academy and ROTC programs. 90% of them are minority. Well, why can't the next generation of police, firefighters, EMT, pilotless drone operators, etc., nurses, first responders come from those type of programs. You know, that would have a transformational effect. Because you would have police officers who are familiar
with the community. The only thing I'd ask, just emotionally.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with something that has so much emotion to the city, both on the police officer side and the community side, as a leader, do you have what it takes to emotionally deal with the city of Chicago in a rift like
that? And you have 30 seconds to answer that very difficult question.
You know, I believe I do, but you're also looking at somebody who created a crisis fund, and any time a child was killed in the community, would not only organize a march, but would also raise the money to bury the child. I mean, we raised funds to bury over 100 kids during that period. And what we would do is we would immerse our youth outreach officers and through our clergy network, we would immerse the community with clergy and social workers and our youth outreach officers to, in effect, try to bring some calm to the community. So I think the city has to do that, obviously, on a citywide basis. But our approach was always to be completely transparent and then to be completely honest with people and then to be aggressive about working with the people in the community who were impacted and to empower them to play a leadership role in building and bringing calm in a state of
it's not just putting out the fire, it's keeping the fire from starting, right?
That's
it's
right.
Short-term, mid-term, and long-term answers to all of this. Listen, you're going to be back because we need to hear more from you, and we only scratched the surface here. First off, take care of the cold.
Thank you.
Second, try to memorize your website. and third, good luck.
Well, thank you very much.
Nice to see you. Valis for Chicago.
Valis for all Chicago.
Oh, I almost forgot. I'm not even in the campaign. Right, I almost nailed it. ValisForAllChicago.org.
.com.
ValisForAllChicago.com. If you'd like to help, you'd like to find out more, like to see where you stand on things, thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And please take a look at the plan I put out for investing in those long-neglected communities, because at the end of the day, being able to bring hope and economic opportunities to those communities are going to go a long way towards addressing many of our ills.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.